You are listening to The Gay Agenda.
Hello, 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 ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between. We are The Gay Agenda. Find us online, thegayagenda.co.uk. Find us on Twitter, at Gay Agenda Radio. I am Roland Cavell. I am here representing The G. And today, to my left...
I am Lydia Burns-Myrillo, and I am here as the token L.
And to my right...
I'm Gemma Leatherbarrow, and I'm here as the T. The big, loud T.
Fabulosity itself. Now, this is our G show for our summer season. Any topics we discuss or we don't talk about that you think we should have done, tweet us, drop us a message via the website, because our two winter slash autumn shows will be Q and I. So anything that we don't cover these shows or we should have covered earlier in the year, let us know and we can always fit them in later in the year.
And if you have any more, any other initials that we have yet to cover, let us know.
Absolutely, yeah. Do get in touch. We want to cover as many bases as possible. But we're only doing six shows for the year. LGBTQI. So next year, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, it could be A, Z, J, whatever else we decide is out there that we need to do.
Oh, that is out there.
There is.
P.S. A does not stand for ally.
Yes, we have to make that very clear.
Very clear.
Sorry, dears. Being an ally is just being a good human being.
Yeah.
It's just being a decent human being is being a nice person.
Absolutely.
If you take A for ally, you are erasing the asexuals, and that is not being a good ally.
No. And the thing is about the asexuals is they won't complain about it because they're kind of wallflowery. So we have to stand up for them.
But anyway, we have a lot to talk about. Lots of news stories here.
We do.
And we're also going to touch on a few topics that affect gay men in particular, as we have done with the T and with the L and with the B over the last few shows. But first of all, I want to see how we're all feeling at the moment. You know, given that we're now more than halfway through the year.
We are.
2018 is rapidly whizzing by. Whoosh, did you hear that? That's the year going by.
It's faster than a Northern Rail train.
I think anything's faster than
that. So, you know, how has the year felt for us so far? This is not just about LGBT inclusivity and equality. This is generally. Now, Lydia, I know you've probably got a lot of thoughts on this, so I'm going to start with Gemma first.
Okay. it's the same old crazy life, isn't it, here on planet Earth? There's been so many things going on, you know. You've got so many idiots ruling vast areas of the world. And making terrible decisions at the same time. So, yeah, it's worrying times, but also fabulous because it's, you know, everything's fabulous when you're super gay.
I'm sorry to bring everything down, but everything is terrible.
Everything is terrible.
Because every time I was just lamenting to my dear wife this morning.
Have you got like a violin soundtrack that we can put in the background?
I'll put a jingle behind it. Ready for this one? Go.
I was just lamenting to my wife this morning that someone should invent like an extension for the Facebook app which just removes all of the news, because there's so little good news at the moment.
Yeah.
And every morning I check my Facebook and I'm like, another thing and another thing and another thing. And
thankfully, I'm usually banned from this.
Yeah, which is it does help. You know, if Theresa May is not holding Donald Trump's hand in the UK, then Donald Trump is literally standing in front of the Queen. May I add, I'm not a royalist, but come on.
The fact with Donald Trump is he has no respect for anyone apart from himself.
In fact, he has very little respect for himself.
Why is any of this a surprise to us?
No. And all the stories that are coming out, I mean, there are pockets of loveliness, and people often share wonderful animal stories with me. But the way things are for queer people in the US, the abuse that people are getting in the UK, it's very challenging to just get through every day at the moment.
I mean, I think, you know, looking on the bright side is a way...
Oh, full disclosure, I do have clinical depression, so that is possibly,
hold on, hold
probably.
On to them pockets of loveliness.
Yeah,
that's the important thing. Yeah, I'm always a glass half full kind of person.
That must be lovely.
It takes a lot of effort sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of effort. But I think unless you try and really focus on those little moments, I know I can get swamped.
Yeah.
Ignore the banging in the background, folks. That's the boiler. It's not a ghost rapping on the door. Mm-hmm. It's the ghost of Brexit past or Brexit future come to haunt us, depending on when you listen to this show,
yes.
Of course. Now, of course, with Brexit coming, dirty word, sorry. The government has told us to stockpile food, or they want to stockpile food and medical supplies.
They'll stockpile blood, which, while at the same time not allowing gay men to donate blood, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to have to just remove that rule.
We need blood, not your blood.
Yeah. Any blood but yours. Ah.
Yeah, so, you know, we could be living through the end of the golden age of UK forward movement.
It does feel like the end times.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
it's scary. It's genuinely scary.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have to sort of, you know, like I say, we have to treasure the progress we've made and the good stuff when we have it, you know, like big pride events, little pride events, the fact that there are so many more happening, movement with laws and legislation coming forward bit by bit by bit, baby steps. But we have to bear in mind that it all could stall because there is nothing on the government's mind aside from a very ill-informed decision to leave the EU.
And the thing is, that ill-informed decision is not getting any more informed.
No.
Informed at the start.
No.
They had a nice bus. They had a nice bus.
It was
but
lying.
It was covered in lies.
A bus of lies, yes. I remember on this show,
mm-hmm.
Many moons ago, referring to... Several.
Several.
referring to Brexit as the hot shit potato.
Yes, yes, exactly that.
And it's still the hot shit potato because literally nobody wants to deal with it.
All the people who were advocating it have handed it to Theresa May and run away.
Yes.
They've all gone.
Yes.
What exactly happened to David Cameron? He disappeared into some kind of singularity.
He did. He's
gone.
Literally gone.
It's
Maybe
vanished.
He was raptured. I did see a pile of very bland clothes on the floor.
He just, you know, like in Star Wars, when Yoda just sort of fades away,
yeah,
his clothes crumple.
Yeah.
Maybe David Cameron just sort
Wait
of...
Minute.
Not that
maybe,
he's a Jedi, maybe just sort of dissolved.
Maybe he went back in time and accidentally kissed his own mother. Oh, wait, sorry, that's Back to the Future.
just faded away. Well, no, see, if he had done that, then he wouldn't have existed in the first place. But the fact that we can remember him proves he did exist. Anyway, time travel to one side.
Oh, let's not talk about paradoxes. I had this conversation with my wife just the other day about paradoxes and why they are challenging for time travel films.
Yeah.
I watched the Time Machine, the 2002, I want to say, 2000 version,
okay,
with Samantha Mumba in it. And I'd never seen it. Yeah, I'd never seen it. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I was like, well, do you know what? This is a bit ridiculous because of paradoxes. And then it addressed the paradox.
With Samantha Mumba being in the film.
Not really interesting.
I can't
imagine
she was the greatest actress.
She was all right. But the whole film...
Was she commensurate with the budget of the film?
She was commensurate with the budget of the film.
You're not going to get better for 20 quid.
No.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, I mean, David Cameron walked, and I'll be honest with you, I think that was the right decision, because he was never an advocate for Brexit. He never said that he wanted Brexit.
Neither was Theresa May. She was a Remainer.
She
campaigned to Remain.
And for me... That at least David Cameron wasn't a hypocrite. What he wanted to do was demonstrate that we'll never leave the EU and the people don't want that. When he realised that he was so out of step, this is not a defence of David Cameron, by the way, he is a massive bellend. But when he realised how out of step he was with the general public, although not that out of step because it was what, 45 to... I can't remember the percentages.
I think, like, all in all, it was only like 30-odd% of the population voted.
Yeah.
And of that, I think 64 voted to leave. Something along those lines. So the majority of people wanted to... didn't care enough to vote.
Yeah.
Or wanted to remain.
51%.
What was that?
Leave. 48% remain. So it's literally...
It's
negligible.
Yeah.
It's 2%. And... It's 3%. It's just under 3%. And basically...
The majority are the ones that voted.
The majority... The people that voted...
A tiny percentage extra wanted to leave, and everyone else in the population didn't care enough to vote. Which I think says more about Brexit. That so many more people were like, I don't care.
Well, the thing is, I don't even think it was that. I mean, it was partly that. But there was a lot of people that went, we're not going to leave. I can't be asked to go vote today. There's no way. Well, my vote won't mean anything. It was a lot of disenfranchisement. It was a lot of...
led to the Leave vote. People not feeling in tune with the government or feeling like they were connecting with it. And of course, at the time, there's a lot of right-wing parties that have been going around for a while. BNP, Farage and UKIP and all that kind of stuff. And that was whipping up that sort of nationalist sentiment.
Yeah. And the
us
worst,
versus them.
I mean, yeah. I feel really bad for people in England because so many of the counties in England really did want to stay. Mm. But I feel worse for Scotland. Because they literally went, no, we want to stay with you. Because if we leave, if we separate, then we will not be in the EU. And then what, two years later?
I feel, in a sort of masochistic sense, I feel bad for the people that voted for Brexit. Because they're not going to get what they wanted,
Because all they wanted something different.
1950s Britain or something.
But the thing is, a lot of people, they voted for Brexit without even knowing what they wanted. All they knew was that they didn't want to be in the EU, but they couldn't pin down why.
Well, they came back to a bus with a 350
blue passports and straight bananas and
damn, who wants a straight banana? But thinking of bananas, that leads us into one of our news stories. Quite nice. Thank you for that, Lydia.
Which one?
this is sort of about Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, yes.
I think it is.
So
this is toxic masculinity, fragile masculinity.
Funnily enough,
rap culture as well, hip hop culture is terribly sort of misogynistic
and homophobic. Funnily enough, I have a bit in my stand up routine which I'm performing at Superbia
here in Manchester for very soon.
Right.
Yes.
Excellent.
Which is about bananas, about the fact that I'm such a lesbian that I eat bananas like they're corn on the cob. funnily enough, but in a much more homophobic sense, Wiz Khalifa has said that men shouldn't bite bananas in public unless they're gay. Now, if that he's using the word banana as a synonym for penis, then I would agree. Men should not be biting penises
in public.
Unless they're gay. Or even if they are gay.
Really, because biting, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
You don't want... No. Anyway.
So what he said was, you got to break it in half. Because if you bite a banana, you're sus. And I guess that means suspicious.
I see where he's going. He likes two at once.
yeah. Super gay. For those of you without television, Vivian was just miming something a little bit perhaps rude.
Maybe. and then someone, Charlemagne the God.
Yeah, it's on him.
Said.
So Charlemagne the God's the presenter on the Power 105 breakfast show. It's one of the biggest sort of shows in hip hop.
Oh, okay. Right.
And replied, why? It's just a fruit. And Khalifa replied, I'm just trying to help you out, bro. If you're in public and you're eating a banana, just break it into pieces. So the only thing being broken into pieces at this moment is Wiz Khalifa's LGBTQ fan base.
Yeah.
He's not got a big fan base anyway. No.
And someone, Trayvon Free, replied, hey, Wiz Khalifa, at Wiz Khalifa, if you think eating a banana will make you want to blow a guy, you probably already want to blow a guy. Also, your logic is incredibly stupid, juvenile and homophobic. You should try to be a smarter person. Yeah, he probably should do that.
He's probably high at the time, though, let's not forget. I mean, he does have a brand of Kush that's named after him.
Wiz? Or Khalifa?
No, Khalifa. All right. Khalifa Kush. It's a...
Khalifa Kush.
So, I mean, obviously, with cannabis being legal in several states in America, a lot of a lot of hip hop artists are getting on the bandwagon and having their own brands of cannabis.
His own branded, right? Yeah. I see. Okay.
So you can get high and make as little a sense as Wiz Khalifa.
Can I get generic? Would that be? Just, I don't want just, the branded.
Yeah.
No,
I just want.
I just want generic.
You want own brand.
I want own brand cannabis, please. It's cheaper and it's just the same.
I mean, like this sort of sentiment is
smart price cannabis. Can you imagine anything worse?
It's just stems.
Just stems. Not that we know anything
about.
No buds.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
But like going back to the story, I mean, the fact that something as innocuous and innocent as just eating a fruit has to be done in a certain way so you don't appear to be gay. You know, it shows that there's such an image of masculinity where you can't even handle something that looks phallic.
Yeah.
You
know, toxic masculinity.
How damaging
is,
that actually is.
Yeah.
Because if there are people, you know, he's a black rapper, I'm going to go ahead and say perhaps there's a whole lot of black kids out there who are in, you know, who are gay,
yeah,
and into their rap, and they hear that. How is that going to make them feel?
Yeah.
You know, how is that, you know, if perhaps they look up to this guy and like, and then he says,
well,
that. You know,
the thing is, luckily, a lot of younger people now are kind of looking at that and going, that's ridiculous. You know,
a lot of younger people listen to more relevant things than Wiz Khalifa anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, we hope perhaps.
The thing is, like 20
and
years
ago. The fact
is
he still said it and it's still a damaging thing to say.
It is
years.
Extremely damaging. But I think that where 20 years ago there was, I mean, maybe it's obviously different in the States, but there was so much homophobia that if anybody said anything like that, you know, this is, you will out yourself as gay if you do this. People, you know, gay teens would be terrified. But gay teens are coming out at like 8 years old now. They're coming out before they get the chance to listen to Wiz Khalifa because
there's
they're already
of,
out of closet.
I mean,
you know,
in all
mean?
Fairness, there's a lot of gay and trans rappers and people in the hip hop community now. You think about Young M.A.
Yeah.
You think about people like Quay Dash and people like that. You know, there are a lot of more relevant artists,
yeah,
that are openly bi, gay, trans,
three
et cetera,
that I've made aware of the last couple of years. Cakes to Killer.
Yeah.
Leaf, I think. It's like L-E-1-F.
Yeah.
And Mickey Blanco.
Yeah.
So those are three that might be featuring on the Gay Agenda Online radio station in a short while. But there's the talent out there that is more connecting. But the fact is that people like him have a big name, and it, you know, the stuff that he says reverberates. Even if people aren't listening to him, what he says will still have an impact because the people who listen to him may be influenced by what he says and think the same way. And if these people, perhaps in their 20s or 30s, a bit older, that they then perhaps will, their behaviour towards the gay youth,
yeah,
will be impacted by this. So
yeah,
not, maybe not him saying it directly, but indirectly, what he says will have an impact
people
on
who,
these young black
so, yeah, people, men. These men who already have slight, mild homophobic tendencies, it normalises homophobia.
That's
is
it,
what
yes.
it does.
Yeah.
Which is extremely dangerous. But you'll be glad to hear that a lot of people have gone, seriously. he's been roundly mocked, which is my favourite term
way of
phrase.
Mocking.
Yeah, roundly. There's lots of videos, and Wiz Khalifa said in an interview that it's gay for men to eat bananas. Can you imagine your masculinity being that fragile? Come on, Wiz, one Twitter user wrote. Another said, okay, at Wiz Khalifa, if straight men can't eat bananas, then they also can't enjoy popsicles, eat off forks and spoons. Also, no hot dogs, corn dogs. You can't let your fingers off anymore. Being homophobic sounds like a lot of work to me. Now, this reminds me of a story that I heard several months ago, and it was posted by my dear friend Jacob on Facebook with the caption, are straight men all right? Because
I'm not sure really on.
And I said, I don't think they are, because this story was about how some men who are so sort of heavily, deeply have the toxic masculinity so deeply ingrained that they will not wipe their behind.
Oh, I read this story.
What?
And this is shocking. I think it's limited to America. It's always the Midwest in America, isn't
yeah.
it? It's always like the Bible Belt states.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and they don't wipe their behinds when they use the toilet because they believe that touching their own bumhole is like somehow making them gay.
I found it. It's from October 2017.
Okay.
Toxic masculinity is preventing some men from wiping their bums properly.
This is a pretty good
like, right, okay, so let's put this in the perspective that perhaps a straight male in the Midwest might understand. You go out on to a barn dance, you know, you find a nice filly, and you know, you take her back for some rutting.
Oh, Lily Lumpkin looked good that night.
Lily Lumpkin! Oh my god, I love The Simpsons.
And, you know, I knew you'd get that.
You go to get into bed, and she can't help but gag when you take your pants off at the smell of the stale shit clinging to your ass.
It's horrible.
Okay,
isn't
so
it?
this was from a. Now, this is a long time ago, actually, that this particular thing was posted on the internet.
But if people still behaving like this, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm. We're in the future, folks, come on.
I'm hoping that a load of people are going to come out in support of me here, but I've got that sinking feeling I might be alone in this. Our toilet broke, so I was in shopping for new ones, and the salesperson joked, no doubt for the millionth time, that I'll want one that automatically puts the seat down after I'm finished with it. I joked back and said, if I didn't have a wife, I could save money by not buying one with a seat, and I'd never have to hear a woman complaining about putting it down again. To which he gave me a strange look and said, but what about when you need to poop? I naturally pointed out that I am a guy and therefore don't put the seat down. I sit on the rim of the bowl. Several embarrassing moments later, I realised that I have misunderstood my entire life and that guys do indeed use the toilet seat. I left empty-handed and red-faced. So that's a very early example.
What kind of parents not teaching their child how to use the toilet properly? And I mean, what a basic concept of how to use the toilet.
Okay, so
why do you think there was a hole in that piece of the toilet lid in the first place?
Yeah.
And what's it for?
So this is...
It's not a picture frame.
It gets worse. So this is another story. Okay, so my husband... Just a caveat, if you are of a sensitive disposition and you find bum stuff particularly heinous, you may want to pause for 5 minutes.
Yeah, meet for 5 minutes and then come back.
Okay, so my husband is turning me off. We've been married for 2 months. What should I do? His feet stink. His shoes smell up the room. Also, he wears white briefs. When I was washing the clothes, the whole seat of his underwear had brown stains in them.
Oh,
it made me sick. Then one day, once when I was riding him, then riding after we him. Were done and he got up, there was a brown streak where his ass had been on the bed. So I finally got some personal cleansing cloths and put them on top of the toilet. He never touched them. Oh yeah, and one time I went to the restroom and it smelled like whole ass. I kept trying to figure out where the smell was coming from. I saw wet tissue in the trash with brown crumbs all over it. Why the hell didn't he flush the tissue down the toilet? I finally mentioned the personal cleansing cloths. He got pissed and screamed in my face. He told me that a real man doesn't go in between his cheeks or spread them open for anything. Men do not spread their cheeks to wipe or clean. Nothing goes between them. What needs to happen here? Suggestions, advice, no bashing.
Get a hose and just every time he goes to leave the bathroom, turn it on him. Get back in there, wash yourself off.
One word, chloroform.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to do something, wouldn't you? Oh, my God, that's disgusting.
That's horrible. Anyway, we'll return from the poo story now and come back to the new stories that we'd actually picked to discuss today.
It's all part of this toxic masculinity. The fact that these men can't even wipe their own arse because they fear that it might be gay.
I mean, we'd have to check with a straight white guy here, I'm assuming, but
I don't know.
Does it not no cancel one. Everything out if you say no homo while you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Possibly.
That's what I was led to believe in films and stuff.
I'm going to go ahead and sort of hypothesise here that these people who perhaps don't touch their bottoms would still masturbate and would still hold their winkle to wee.
Yeah.
So surely holding a penis in your hand is perhaps a bit more homo than wiping your bum.
Yeah.
You'd have to check with Wiz Khalifa.
I would have to check with Wiz Khalifa. Or if you know at home, tweet us at Gay Agenda Radio. Let us know which is more gay, holding a winkle or wiping your bum hole.
Or holding your winkle or eating a banana.
Yeah. What's, you know, to be fair, the only way you can actually become gay is to look directly into a rainbow. I mean, like, that's the only way it happens. So
well,
all
directly
this other stuff
into
is
an anus. I mean, directly into an anus. That also...
Looking directly into an anus?
Yeah, that makes you kind of go.
That's where rainbows come from.
Through the toilet seat. I thought that's why they kept it firmly shut away, I guess.
Oh, right, so that's the first story. What should we move on to now? Should we get something a bit lighter and a bit draggier?
Yes, let's do that,
okay.
Yes.
Right, so this is... It's not a wonderfully happy story because... it's about teenagers, a teenager not being able to share his performance with his school. So this is a teen boy, Lewis, who came out as gay to his mum and stepdad last year. And he's a drag queen. He's very young and he has performed his drag queen act in front of his parents, and they are extremely supportive. Props to the parents.
Absolutely.
But when it came to the school talent show, he was not allowed.
Oh yes, yeah, so he was going
to perform
his drag performance. I think it was the day before the performance. They actually put the kibosh on it. Actually, no.
They said it was illegal.
Well, the infamous drag act of 1972.
Yeah. He entered the talent show a few weeks ago, and he'd been practicing his dance to a medley of songs mixed by his stepdad.
Aww.
Which included Little Mix, Ariana Grande, and his inspiration, RuPaul. You better work. But the school, whose website states, "We strive to meet every individual's needs," cancelled his act last minute. "I'm heartbroken and confused," said Lewis, who was described himself as just a 14-year-old gender bender. Oh,
you've got to love that.
This brings
me back to a hashtag that we tried to get floating around.
Yeah,
but unapologetically trans.
I
love the strength that these kids have nowadays.
Yeah.
That they can just be what they want to be. It's lovely.
He said, "After all the effort I put into it, it has knocked my confidence a lot. When I'm in drag, I feel I'm truly being myself." One of the teachers told him he couldn't do it anymore because the law says that. Sorry, it's slow scrolling.
And you are naturally a swift scroller.
I am.
I'm practiced fingers
and excellent double clicking.
There's a euphemism in there somewhere, isn't there?
One of the teachers told him he couldn't do it anymore because the law says. Because of the law that says you can't do competitions as a drag act if you're under 18.
Which law is, though? I mean...
I don't think this law exists, does it?
No,
it doesn't.
No. This would have been his first performance in front of people in public. His act for the talent show was dressing as a lady and dancing. There was no swearing, no raunchy behaviour, nothing over the top. It's just him dressing as a female, doing an act. Oh, you know, we should really try and get a... drag kids event for Pride. How cool would that be?
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's something that some sort of group should get on board with that. Anyway,
yes.
Definitely. I think that would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
Drag your kids along.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. "I can't believe it," said his mum. "I spoke to the head teacher and she asked if I was removing him from the school because I wasn't happy with the decision. I said no, why should he miss out on his education because of their views? I think the school are being judgmental. There's no law over impersonating a female and doing a dance. We can't find anything anywhere that says that. And anyway, it's a school talent show, not a competition. The school is very multicultural, and I think the school think some of the parents won't like it."
It's being overcautious for the bigots in the audience.
It's not being overcautious. It's being homophobic, is what it is.
Yeah,
you know... They should be standing up and saying, "Well, of course we support you."
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that they've had school plays where girls have had to dress as boys because not enough people have applied for the roles.
They probably they won't have done the leaves like a chair, yeah. But like a bunch of cats.
Wait, is this a lesbian play?
No, they won't have lesbian plays there. I can assure you that.
But there is some better news.
Yes.
The 14-year-old boy who was banned from debuting his drag act is now has now confirmed he will be performing at Drag World alongside stars from RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul. Who's RuPaul?
Sorry, let me just put my tooth back in. RuPaul's Drag Race. He'll be on going on stage as drag queen Athena Hart, which is a great name.
Athena Hart, lovely, yeah.
And performing
and his Instagram
alongside,
will literally blow up.
It will blow up.
Yeah.
Alongside such performers as Bibi, Zahara Benet, and Jinx Monsoon. I think that this is delightful. But it's very, it seems so strange when currently in the West End there is a show about a boy who wanted to wear go to prom and drag.
So,
of course, yes.
The interesting thing here is, I'm assuming as a school it will teach English. And in English literature they teach Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And they will also stress the point during those lessons that, oh, back in those days, women weren't traditionally allowed upon stages. Some men dressed as women. Except for you, young boy.
It's
a horrible, way to treat kids that are just expressing their artistic sort of.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note as well. One of the presumed origins of the word drag comes from Shakespeare. It's dressed resembling a girl.
Really?
Stage directions.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we're many, many centuries later. The problem I have with dressed as girl, or dressed resembling a girl. Is it's often used to bash cis drag queens and also drag kings. That's not drag, because drag means dressed resembling a girl. But
well,
that's not
the, that's just the origin of
God.
One possible origin of the actual term.
Yeah.
You know, words evolve and change. We know that because Shakespeare invented words
that
we now use. Polari came about, and some of those words moved into regular language. Things change all the time.
Yeah.
We've, you know. People in the 50s and 60s won't like people using the word queer because it was a horrendous word for them.
Yeah.
Whereas we, in our generation, we've reclaimed it.
Yes, we have.
You know, we've reclaimed the word queer. So it changes, it evolves. So drag can be whatever drag you drag as.
Exactly.
It could be a drag on.
You're born naked, everything else.
Surely drag's just about being fabulous, is it not?
It is. It is.
In whichever way you want. Yeah.
And if you're fabulous, then that's it. That's all that matters.
So. In 2011, Jamie wanted to go to his prom dressed as a drag queen.
So this isn't the
This is
now talking about the musical.
This is about the musical, because it's just interesting that this school doesn't have the wherewithal to realise that they are doing the exact same thing that a whole West End show is now based on.
Yeah.
They refused to let him go to the prom in drag. And now Jamie is this huge superstar and has a West End show that has been written about him. And it's huge. I mean, it's really blown up. And the way it mirrors the story about this young lad is amazing, because the school basically told him you can't, and he went to the prom and they would not let him in the door.
This young person couldn't have written better viral marketing for the school.
Oh,
yeah. absolutely. There is actually a young lad who's kind of he's very, very young. He's called Desmond Is Amazing. Have you heard of Desmond Is Amazing?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Desmond
okay.
Is
Change
Amazing is about, I think he's 8 or 9 years old, and he's a drag queen. And he got into doing drag when he was about 5, watching RuPaul's Drag Race. Yeah. And now he's an advocate and a supporter.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, you know, this lad was 14. He's old enough to know his own mind.
Yeah.
And that's why I say this school is just basically being homophobic. And it makes me so angry, because it's 2018.
I know, it's...
Yeah.
You know?
Jean is a nice person. She happens to like girls instead of guys. Some people like cats instead of dogs. Frankly, I'd rather live with a lesbian than a cat.
You are listening to The Gay Agenda.
We're taking a brief interlude from our main chat now to deviate slightly to chat with Jeremy Hode. Who is organising the second of the local prides near me. Jeremy, tell us a little bit about Levenshulme Pride and where you're at with it and what's going on.
Well, Last year, we started from scratch with an amazing group of people, and we ended up with 6 venues across 3 days. This year, I wouldn't say that things have got a little out of hand, but...
they haven't got out of hand at all, or they've gone monumentally
out of hand? No, they are completely in hand, but... it's quite a large hand this year because we have 16 venues this year.
Fantastic. They've all got stuff going on across the whole weekend.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, but, you know, not everything. No, not all the venues have stuff going on all the time because we have all sorts of different venues. So we have venues from shops putting on things like the Shine Hair are putting a hairdressers are putting on a tea party on the Sunday afternoon. We have other shops doing discounts with music and prosecco and drinks. We have other ones doing bands and DJs, and then we have other venues which are kind of bigger venues like the pubs and whatnot. So they're doing things all weekend, and so there's I haven't actually counted how many pubs we have involved this year, but lots of different venues, and also lots of different types of things going on. So it's not all about when we started it last year, and lots of people were saying, "Well, don't raise your expectations too highly, because it's your first year. Start off slow, and we'll get you'll build up."
They weren't expecting a great deal then.
Well, they didn't know Levensum, you see, and so so that's why we ended up with 6 venues across 3 days. This year was 16 venues across 3 days. But the other sorts of things, what's really good this year as well is we've really built on that community involvement. So we have art groups doing yoga for kids and teens and art workshops. We have at the Arcadia, which is a local leisure centre. We have library and leisure centre. I should stress the library bit as well. Mm-hmm. So we have kids storytelling on the Sunday.
Lovely.
We also have things like one of the trainers in the gym there came to us the other day, the other week, and said, "Now I've got an idea. Do you mind if I have it? Or do you mind if Mike sits in and says what his idea is?" So Mike's idea was to have a drag workout session. And I saw him a couple of days ago, and he was saying, "Right, I've got my nurse's uniform, and I've got to sort out my wig yet, but I've got my uniform, and I've been telling people about it." So it's these things that everything is devolved. There's sort of central coordination of stuff, but the whole principle of Levensum Pride is it involves as many people in the community as absolutely possible, doing whatever they want to do. So it's all about community involvement and supporting Pride and supporting the whole weekend. So the Pride is a theme running through the weekend, obviously, and we'll have lots of drag queens and singing and disco and all sorts.
And fun things going on.
Yes, but also we have these kind of community elements. So we'll have a film screening. We've got a theatre performance. We've got the fitness workouts and a dance, an 80s dance class. On.
Lovely.
We have people doing the art workshops. We've also partnered with the LGBT Foundation in the centre of Manchester, and they're going to be doing some HIV testing, drop-in centre through the afternoon. So it's a real mix of stuff, but at the heart of it is the community involvement.
Fantastic.
And it's not just about the LGBT community. It's about the whole community in Levensum coming together to support that idea, to support Pride.
Magic. So just remind us what dates these are.
It's on the 17th to the 19th of August, which is very soon, yes. And yes, I pause slightly because I have a kind of mental flash of 101 million things I've got to do. Yes.
This is our G show, looking at the gay male experience kind of thing, I'll throw a few questions at you as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
The first one, not strictly related to gay men, but for you, why are small local prides important?
Well, I think it's serving different needs, basically, because a lot of people feel that the main prides have become very commercialized and are very centered on kind of big names coming to perform, and it's quite expensive and it's all ticketed. And I mean, one of the taglines that we have for Levantine Pride is Levantine Pride, no barriers. And
nice.
That's got several different levels to it. In one sense, it's about...
No physical, no emotional,
exactly,
and so on and so on.
No physical, no emotional, no barriers to entry. Nothing that we're doing is ticketed. Everything that we're doing is ticketed. Is free.
Yeah.
These were some of the sort of founding principles, I suppose, that we had, is about involvement and participation, and that whatever we were doing was open to anybody to take part in, and anybody could kind of try stuff or do a bit of that, do a bit of something else, and it was all open, all free, all accessible to absolutely anybody. You started with a gay theme on that question, and I've drifted away from it.
No, that's
again.
Fine. We'll come back to it. There's a couple things as part of the our G show, the few topics we've sort of touched on and sort of glanced over.
Yeah.
There's only so much time to fit into the show, of course. And one thing was the apparent exclusion in some areas of the gay male voice in conversations and in the continuing queer story.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we understand that there are just other voices out there that need their time to shine. But I've heard on several occasions where gay men have been told that they weren't wanted, they weren't needed, their voices weren't required anymore.
Yeah.
How does that feel to you? Like, what's your take on that kind of thing?
I think it's a really strange development. Fairly recently, that it's become more of an issue, really. And from my perspective, I think it's rather sad in a way, because what that does is it focuses on fragmentation of the LGBT community as such, which is always a loose coalition of people with different interests, different issues, different identities, different sexualities. So it was always a fairly loose, the rainbow coalition and all that.
Yeah.
And I think what's important for me is to actually keep focused on the elements that form the coalition in that, rather than the differences between people, because if you focus on too much on the individual identities within that, then that can lead to tensions, and you end up with that fragmentation. And exactly what you're saying, I've experienced it to a certain extent. I've heard other gay male friends who have been quite overtly told that, well, it's time that you shut up, basically. Mm. You've had your time, you've been dominant, you are still relatively dominant as gay men, and so it's time for other voices to be heard. I don't think that's really a productive way of thinking about it, because it's more important to think that all voices should be heard, and all voices can contribute different things to a conversation. If somebody is perceived to use that metaphor, if somebody is perceived to have been dominating a conversation for a while, then partly that reflects the nature of the wider society and culture and who has the power within that society and the voice. But it seems counterproductive to then turn around and say, well, actually, you've had your time, so be quiet now, or you should... one of the other phrases is pass the mic or put the mic down or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's more important to focus on the commonalities and the common reasons that all of us are in that loose rainbow coalition in the first place, which is to fight for each other and to fight for equality and rights, human rights, rights at work, rights wherever. So the commonality is the fight for everybody, for those for equality and rights, which is still something that is way off being achieved yet, despite what people tend to think with same-sex marriage and having happened and that sort of thing. And in itself, same-sex marriage isn't the equal marriage that it's sometimes referred to. It doesn't provide the equality. It doesn't have the equal status to for want of a better phrase, your heterosexual marriage does. So, but there's a lot of important issues there that need to be unpicked in relation to what are these equalities, who has them, how far are we? One of the phrases that I always used and used during that debate about same-sex marriage was, you can't have a bit of equality. You are either equal or you're not.
Yeah.
And for most people within that LGBT coalition community, we still don't have it in all sorts of different spheres. And so to come back round to that idea about who has the voice in these things, it's about having different voices heard, but recognizing that we're striving for the same thing, and we can speak for each other as well as a shared experience and a shared understanding. So the whole idea of, well, as a white gay middle-aged middle-class man, then you've had the conversation for too long, so it's time to be quiet now. But I don't see that as something that's helpful, really, because it actually alienates people. And it, in a sense, it then, if it's recognised that certain groups, whether they be white gay men, for example, have greater opportunity or have been fighting for rights for a long time, then that's a strength to draw on for the whole community, rather than something to set aside, because then if you set it aside, it actually diminishes the power of the arguments that you can make collectively.
Lovely stuff. Another quick question there.
Sorry, I'm not good on quick answers.
No, feel free
to interrupt.
I'll throw these at you. You know, we'll see what comes out. We'll see what unravels. The sort of the idea that, you know, the white cisgender sort of gay male, mm-hmm. being the most privileged of the pack, sort of thing, and the idea perhaps in some quarters that, you know, as we were saying, you've had your time to speak, you know, the idea perhaps by some that actually you guys are fine now, so it sort of glosses over from what a lot of stuff I've been reading, a lot of the mental health issues and the toxic masculinity mm-hmm. that still affect gay men. Do you think there's an issue that needs a lot more attention?
In terms of mental health issues in particular, well, yes, because in a sense there's, depending on one's perspective, then you can look at things and say, well, there's a crisis of this or there's a crisis of that. It's kind of the phraseology that people use. But certainly in terms of male identity, then I think there is a lot of tension and a lot of difficulty there in terms of how men identify themselves and find their role within society, find their voice, and how they see themselves within that broader cultural and social context. I mean, it's interesting, for example, that the focus, understandably for some reasons, on personal safety, for example, is very much on women and on females and younger women in particular, and about their sense of place and self within when they're out, basically, and the sense of danger and threat and their ability to defend themselves. And so there are all sorts of empowerment classes and self-defense classes and all this sort of thing. It's interesting when you think about that and you think, well, a lot of energy is being put into that, which is, I'm not questioning that at all. But if you look statistically, then the people who are much more likely to be assaulted or to get into fights or to be attacked or mugged are young men. And so, in a sense, there's this separation between the perceived need for support for particularly younger women and the actual risk and the threat that people experience just as people, and that tends to be greater for young men. And I think there is an assumption that runs across a lot of this, which is that, well, you know, men have always had a certain privilege, they've been in positions of power, and so they can get on with stuff themselves, and they don't, you know, they can handle themselves and all that sort of thing. And I think that all feeds
is that
back.
A dangerous assumption.
Exactly, and it's not necessarily supported by the statistics and people's personal experience, and it can then lead to a neglect of the needs of particularly younger men, and within that group, then particularly younger gay men, who can be particularly vulnerable, and then suffer from not only that broader context of what is the status of masculinity, how do I identify with this, how do I relate to this, how am I going to fit in this situation, and then you've got the sexuality as an issue overlaid on top of that. And the same sort of issues go for transgender people as well, in a similar way, who suffer from a lot of disproportionate level of mental health challenges. And so I think that it's really to avoid those assumptions, I think, and actually question what the reality is, and then address the needs based on the reality, rather than making assumptions about who necessarily does need the greatest support. And I wouldn't say that it's a matter of switching from one to the other, because I think that's the dangerous perspective that you can get into, is that you think, well, if we provide less support for this group because we want to switch the support to another group. And that's not the point, really. It'd be a rather bizarre way of thinking about it. The idea is to recognise the needs and challenges of different groups.
And support them all equally.
Exactly,
whichever way fits them best, I suppose.
Yeah, and exactly, particularly on mental health issues and on personal safety issues, which I use that as an example, then there are particular and specific challenges for men, and then for gay men, and within that. And that's not to question any legitimacy about other people's needs or challenges or the focus of their identities and their differences and their sense of self. It's just to say that we should recognise both, basically. Or not just both, there were multiple different, all, yes, constituted both in the LGBT context in particular. Yeah. Ironic.
Wonderful stuff. Those are some fantastic answers, Jeremy. Thank you for those. I'm sure they'll add an extra little bit of flavour to the show. Yeah. And just remind our listeners a little bit about Leverage and Pride, the dates, how they can find you online, Twitter handle, all that kind of stuff. Tell us that tale.
Yes. Levantine Pride, the 17th to the 19th, which is the Friday to the Sunday of August this year, 2018. Mm-hmm. Full details you asked for. And the Twitter handle is at Levy Pride, which is L-E-V-E Pride. We won't go into the big discussion locally about how you spell Levy. There's a reason for that.
There's a huge... every 6 months it kicks off.
Yes.
It's not like this, no, it's not like that. It's just whatever, get over it.
Actually, the reason it's Levy Pride is because, rather annoyingly for Twitter, I would have had Levantine Pride, but Twitter doesn't let you have that number of characters, so it would have
got
So the best we could have done with that would have been Levantine Prid, which didn't quite communicate.
Didn't quite work.
So Leve Pride is the Twitter handle. The website.
So we have a website set up recently.
Yeah, we've got a brand new website this year with loads more information. It's much easier to use, much simpler. Gradually, one of the 101 million things that I mentioned before is about actually populating that website, and it's expanding dramatically. That is levensumpride.org.uk. Do you want me to spell Levantine?
I'm sure our listeners will be able to look into the description of the show, where I will include it.
And we also have there's also a Facebook group and a Facebook page, both simply Levantine Pride. So there's lots of information going out there about different acts, about different venues, about different sponsors, and basically everything that's going on. So you can find us on Twitter, on Facebook group, on a Facebook page, or on the website.
All over the place.
All over the place.
Splattered all over
and find us. Come and find us. We're lovely.
I'm looking forward to it. Jeremy, thank you so much.
Right, thank you.
Are you sure you didn't take no drugs?
No, I just can't stop dancing. Could you turn the music up a bit, please?
I'm afraid that's my watch, sir. Ticking.
Is it? Fantastic. Hold it up here.
You are listening to The Gay Agenda.
Okie dokie, here we are, The Gay Agenda, back again. I, as I always am, I'm Roland Cavell, here with the G.
I'm Gemma Ledbarrow, here with the T.
And I am Lydia Burns-Myrillo, here with the L.
Fabulosa.
Although, it's funny, because I feel like... L? Yeah, I feel like... I mean, I identify as a lesbian, but I feel like my sexuality has expanded into, no offence, but like literally anybody apart from cis men. So
yeah, that's fine. Don't apologize for that.
I feel like that because it's not about the genitalia. It's about just not being cis guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a weird period of evolving over the past few years. Now I am married to a woman, to my wife, and we will always be together, and we are completely monogamous. However, the nature of my sexuality. I feel like L doesn't quite cover it, but I will always identify
L plus.
L plus.
Yeah.
Ding. Yeah.
So we'll finish up with a more delightful and entertaining. Well, not this wasn't entertaining, but a more light-hearted, shall we say?
Yes.
Story.
The headline is: The First Life on Earth Looked Really, Really Gay. just how fabulous was early life on Earth, according to Dr. Nerd. Guinelli, pardon me if the pronunciation is wrong, of the Australian National University, our planet was pinker than anyone might have imagined.
Fabulous. Everything should be in pink.
She was looking for ancient fossils in some rock samples discovered beneath the Sahara Desert, and she expected to find nothing but shades of grey, but instead the samples varied all the way from blood red to deep purple when concentrated and bright pink when diluted by a solvent. The material in the rocks were cyanobacteria, otherwise known as a blue-green algae. This particular bacterium is the only type to photosynthesize, and the chlorophyll that it uses to photosynthesize is where the pink color comes from. So it also helped to unlock another mystery of early Earth. While this cyanobacteria dates back some 1.1 billion years.
Wowza.
More complex life forms don't show up on Earth until roughly 650 million years in the past. Scientists have speculated that the discrepancy was due to lack of oxygen, but that theory has been disproved. What it seems more likely is that the cyanobacteria were so plentiful on the early Earth that other life forms couldn't evolve and didn't evolve. It was only when the cyanobacteria began to recede. So it was so pink that... We couldn't have a blue planet.
the pink Earth. I love it. It's weird when you look at the modern world, thinking of the blue planet, the further on into the ocean you go, the redder all the creatures are.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't see it properly.
There's a certain wavelength of light further through material.
Yeah.
Science.
And it all comes back to photosynthesis in the same way that... I think is it mitochondrial DNA in our cells is a throwback to when we were plants billions of years ago.
I mean, obviously, the Earth was created in 7 days. Well, 6 days, and then there was a day.
And then she had a nap.
She had a nap. it's very interesting, and the images of the cyanobacteria are super pink and purple. And I like pink, and I like purple.
Purple's a very regal colour, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact,
royal
my name,
bacteria.
Lydia, is from the Bible, the Bibli.
From the Bibli.
And Lydia was a seller of purple cloth.
Ah.
True story. Well, true story that's where my name's from.
Oh,
not so true story that she sold purple cloth. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, you know, the dye to have made cloth purple would have been quite expensive back in the day.
It
so
would.
She would
reacts,
have been rolling
reacts on contact with air and goes blue, doesn't it?
Turns the air blue.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
sounds
to,
like us.
The dye that we used to use.
Yeah, the ancient Egyptians quite they prized the blue penguin, didn't they?
Mm.
Yes, they did. And they still do. Like, blue denim now is, like, real blue denim and hand-dyed and everything is so sought after because
is
it's
it?
A complex process.
Mm. Thinking of weird denim, I saw 9-foot jeans for sale online recently.
9-foot jeans?
Yeah. Like, each leg was several legs stitched together. So they were, like, 9 foot long.
Oh, God.
And the idea
no
was
way.
That you'd roll them all up and, like, it was meant to be, like, a really, like, crinkly, creased sort of...
I think it says more about the throwaway nature of society when there are people out there that can't afford clothes and there's people that are making nine pairs of jeans into one pair of jeans.
Hashtag fashion.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that's where the offcuts from them jeans that are all rip go.
Yes, yeah. Must be.
I'm looking up 9-foot jeans now because I need to see.
Yeah, do a Google image search for them and see what comes up.
Because I have seen the jeans
JNCOs are coming back into fashion, aren't they?
Are they?
What are
they? Yes. JNCO jeans, you know the ones that metalheads used to wear that are like super baggy?
Oh yeah, yeah, really
wide. Yeah, they did a sort of turnaround back into fashion, I think.
Well, you know, in the last few years we've seen a resurgence of 90s fashion with bucket hats and various sports brands coming back to the fore.
It'll be Kangol hats and crop tops next.
I remember my favourite. Oh my God, I have
That's
to zoom out so much to see it. my favourite pair of jeans I had
hideous.
In the '90s. I used to go to this amazing shop in Bolton near Marketplace, and it just sold jeans, and they were like I had this pair of dark purple jeans with full pockets, and they were high waisted, and they were so comfortable. And I need to know what happened to all of those clothes after that trend ended, because there's no way they sold out of all those items. Somewhere in a warehouse, there is a stockpile of 90s jeans with my name on them.
Or they were all just, I don't know, sent to Oxfam.
Oh, maybe that.
Off to charity shops.
Damn it.
Damn it, Janet.
Damn it, Janet. I love jeans.
So what's our plan then for the towards the end of the year? We're finishing up this show now, so our summer season of T&G or G&T, depending on how much you want to drink, coming to an end. Our autumn winter shows Q&I will be coming up. So any stories you want to for us to discuss, tweet us at Gay Agenda Radio.
And also, if you are a Q or an I, or you haven't, please do contact us, and you can come in and be on the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what have you two got planned for the next couple of months then? Anything exciting? Anything entertaining?
Manchester Pride's coming up, and I will be at Superbia performing. I'm also doing a little bit of tour guiding as well.
Oh yeah,
around Manchester, the Rainbow tours, and then summer's over. But October is a big month for me.
Oh yes,
because we're going on holiday.
Holiday,
and it's really actually this weather is great because it's like we get two holidays because we decide to go on holiday in October when the weather will be crap, but we'll get lovely Caribbean sunshine because my wife is turning a big number that I will not
30.
Know. Yes,
yeah,
a really big number 30. So we're having a big special holiday, and we're flying. We're turning left on the airplane.
Ooh.
Yeah. Free champagne.
Turning left on the airplane. Is that
first
a euphemism
class,
or something?
First class.
Oh, right.
Yes. We have
I
life flatbeds.
I didn't know what that meant. I was like, what? Turning left on an airplane? I'm just walking out the door.
The funny thing is that...
flying the plane.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Flying the plane, yeah. The funny thing is that we've got these life flatbeds and no one else in first class is going to get any sleep because I snore like a freight train. So
me too!
Yay! but I don't care. I'll be asleep.
Yeah, I mean, if there's too many cis white men on there, you will be thrown off the flight.
Of course. Out the window. In fact, I'll probably be dragged off. But no, we're all right. We're not flying United. So.
Oh,
yeah.
What about you, Gemma? Have you got any shenanigans planned?
I don't know, really. I'm looking at trying sort of like maybe going on holiday later in the year, but generally after Pride season, and the only sort of big event is Trans Day Remembrance.
Yes.
Apart from that, I will be crawling back under a rock and recovering from all the alcohol I've consumed over the summer.
Yay!
You know? Sort of detox myself, I think.
Detox, yeah, just sort of not imbibing anymore. Let your liver do its job.
Yeah, I may be imbibing some more. I'll just be trying to...
Cut down.
Yeah, tail it off a little bit.
Yeah. nice. So, the last couple of
minutes. What are you going to be doing?
What am I going to be doing?
Yeah.
Well, What I will be doing, as well as you, Lydia, as my yes. fellow, is developing the Gay Agenda online radio of station. For those of you obviously who can't see because you're listening, in the corner there's actually a sort of an outfit and a wig draped on a little body
mannequin.
Yeah. So Azure Undecided will be doing a show for us.
Yes.
Musical Mondays.
Fantastic.
We'll have lots of other people involved. A couple of local big names. We'll announce it all properly. Bank Holiday weekend in August.
Absolutely. I have a show.
Yes, you have a show.
It's called Feeling Queer.
Ooh.
And but we'll tell it all.
Okay.
The big announcement for everything will be the Bank Holiday weekend in August.
Yes.
So keep your eyes peeled to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. The Twitter as well. Head to the website thegayagenda.co.uk. You can listen to The Gay Agenda and That's Pride Best Bits until we officially launch and we get the license sorted for music as well. On that note, we, outside of the shows, we will only be playing music by LGBT
etc.
artists. So if you have any suggestions, anyone at all, local artists, unsigned acts, big names you think they need to be played, let us know. And any genre, punk, indie, hip-hop, rap, country folk, electronica, all of it. We want the full smorgasbord of LGBT musicians outside of our regular programme shows.
Indeed we do.
So Gemma, are you going to be tuning in, do you think?
I will definitely be tuning in.
I think Gemma might have a show, to be perfectly honest.
I like a bit of LGBT hip hop.
You
and
do.
There is more and more of it coming around day by day, so you know, I think that's got to be worth something.
Absolutely. Head to the website, poke about. There's a resources page there, so if you're in need of any advice or anything, check on the resources page. There's a charities, a lot of them based in the UK, a few worldwide ones as well, as well as links to the TV show we've done in the past, a back catalogue of Gay Agenda shows from the last 4.5 to 5 years.
Yes.
In fact, in November, which is probably when the Q&I shows will be released, will be our 5th birthday.
Oh my God.
Such a special time.
I know.
We're off to in year one, going off to a reception.
Yeah. But it seems quite fitting that, you know, towards the end of our 5th year in existence is when the radio station is launching.
Yes.
Feels like an auspicious time to do it.
It does.
A nice
it
round
does.
Number, you see.
Yeah.
Okay, we're looking for content. We're looking for people to get involved. Have your say. It's a platform. It's a spotlight to shine on your work if you want to have it out there. So, from myself, Ryan Cavell.
From me, Gemma Leatherbarrow.
From me, Lydia Burns Myrillo.
Have a wonderful summer. We'll see you in winter.
You are listening to The Gay Agenda.